We're on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, and we're two lines up before the end of the Amud. Achas Nichneses V'Achas Yotzes, which means that when we set up the Shtei Ravkos, these two teams that separate one of the Dumodim from the other, so we have one team that comes in and one team that goes out. So they're facing in two different directions. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Rivka Nichneses v'Rivka Yotzes. Right, the Mishnah doesn't say, it says Achas Nichneses, Achas Yotzes. And the Braisa wants to emphasize that the Achas is referring to the Rivka, you know, that team. And there's got to be a space. We call it in Hebrew a revach, a space between the dumadim, in such a way that one team could come in to drink the water, one team of cows, and the other team of cows could go out. In other words, we're not going to evaluate and measure that open space. Ein misharin be'ofet shepara nichneses u'par yotzes. In other words, if let's say the cows were not tied together in these teams, which is called the Ravka, but rather it was individual cows that came in and individual cows that got out, that's not going to fulfill the definition of our Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking about not individual cows going in and out, but rather a Rivka that goes in and a Rivka that goes out. If you would talk about individual cows, then they're not tied together. And our Mishnah requires that these cows are tied together. And it would seem that our Mishnah, based on this Braisa, is giving us a kula, allowing a little bit more space between one Diumad and the other Diumad by linking together the animals in these pairs, which we call Ravka, or Rivka, actually, Rivka would be a better way. And he says, this is called a kula, this is a leniency, because when you open up an area for two Rivkos, one is going in, one is going out, it's going to be a larger area. We're expanding the Revach, the Rochav. And the reason for this is because, you know, we want to make sure that that there's enough room for those who are going in and going out without them, having any friction one with the other and so forth and so on. Now, all this has to do with being Mishayer the Amah. And you may remember from the beginning of the Masechta that we spoke about two ways of calculating an Amo, right? There was an Amo, Amos Shochakos, and there was Amos Mitzumtzomos. Here we're talking about the larger Amo, and the reason for that is, right, it's made up not of five Tvachim, but six Tvachim, and the reason for that is because we want to be able to have a Ravka Nichneses and a Ravka Yotzes, and we're going to have to expand a little bit that opening in order to facilitate the team of cows going in and the team of cows going out. Tana Rabbanan. Now, we have in our Mishnah that there's a certain minimum amount of harchokas hapasim in abor, meaning you may want to diminish the area of the dumadim. You know, instead of having it over, let's say, 10, you know, 10 amos or so forth, you know, just have it a little bit more tight. So the Mishnah says that you have to allow for one cow to drink in that area, and the cow enters into the area. What does it mean the cow goes into the area? The head of the cow has to go into that area, because, again, you're filling up a pail of water in order to give drink to the cow. And you want the body of the cow, at least most of the body of the cow, to be in that area that is circumscribed, that is surrounded by the dumadim. Okay. Okay. Now, Tanur Rabbanon, so the Mishnah says that the minimum amount of space around the well that's being enclosed by the Dumadim is got to be enough for the cow to go Rosh over Rubo. The head and most of the body of the cow is inside this enclosed area. And the question is, how much, can you give me a measurement? Tell me how much that is. By the way, I see Jerry joined us. So Jerry, I don't know if you have the place, but it's on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. And we're up to the last line, Tanur Rabbanan. And well, if you see it, Yud Tes 19a, the last line.
Very good, thank you very much.
And Jerry, just to keep you posted, the reason why we're starting a perek on page 19 is because I skipped the Agadita for the time being. Maybe, we may get a chance to learn the Agadita. Okay. So Tanur Rabbanan v'kama. So give it to me an actual size. You're telling me about cows. Most of the cow goes in. How much is that? So the answer is Rosh v'ruva shel parah shtei amos. I guess if you take an average cow, let's say an average cow is maybe 3 amos long, depending on what age it's at. I guess a middle-aged cow. And if it's, let's say, 3 amos long, so 2 amos is already enough to get the head and most of the body in. So it's interesting that instead of the Mishnah being straightforward and saying 2 amos, the way it always speaks all over Shas, the Mishnah gives me this kind of cryptic formulation called Rosh HaVeruva of the Parah. And the reason why the Mishnah does that is because the Mishnah wants to tell you how we came up with this shear. And why we came up with this shear. And the answer is, we want to make sure that when he draws the water out of the well, and he has now a pail of water that he drew, he should be very careful that he doesn't go beyond the enclosure, the mechitzos, which are the dirmadin. Because if, heaven forbid, he takes water out of the well and carries that water out of that enclosure, out of the Dumadim, then he violates a Malacha d'Oraisa of Hotzah, because the well is 10 Tfachim deep and 4 Tfachim on 4 Tfachim wide, which means that the well itself is Rishus HaYachid. And when we allow him to draw water from the well, he's got to put the water down in Rishus HaYachid. If he takes the water out to Rishus HaRabim, which is beyond these enclosures, then he violates Melechus Hotzah. Now, if the cow is mostly outside of this area that's enclosed, then when he's carrying the pail and he wants to give the cow to drink, he may be tempted to, push the pail, out to where the cow is. So we want to make sure that he's got the cow inside this enclosed area. And that's why the Mishnah uses the term Rosh HaVeruva Shel Parah, and the Mishnah relies on us to make the calculation, what is the average length of a cow. But the Mishnah wants to tell you that the reason for this requirement, that the minimum requirement, that the smallest area that could be enclosed is that of Rosh HaVeruva Shel Parah, is because otherwise we're afraid that if the para is outside this area, or part of it, or most of it, you might be tempted to take the pail and give drink to the cow outside of this enclosed area. Again, when I say enclosed, obviously you understand. I don't mean really enclosed. It's just got these posts on all four corners. It's not really enclosed. Okay. Now, the Braisa asks the following, Kama Ovya Shel Parah. Now we have to know, not the length of the cow, but, so to speak, the width of the cow, right? The cow has a head and it's got shoulders. So how wide is the cow? Because again, we want to know how wide of an area we can allow on the other end of the spectrum, meaning until now we're talking about, you know, that it shouldn't be too narrow, that a cow can't come in and drink. Now we're asking on the other hand, how wide of an area do we allow to be enclosed? And we're going to calculate, let's say, according to Rabbi Meir, 3 cows length, and times 2, right? And then according to Rabbi Yehuda, 4 cows length. So what is the, again, when I say length, I mean, it's a little bit, my language was not precise, I should be more careful. What I mean is, I'm lining up the cows between the enclosures, right? Between these diumadim, as we call them. So, if you're talking about 3 cows and 3 cows, 4 cows and 4 cows, how much of a width are you allowing? Kama ovya shalpara, ama ushne shlish ama. Right, so 1 2/3 of an ama. 1 2/3 of an ama, correct? So now, let's take Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir allows for 3 and 3. That means 6 cows going across. So how much do you get if you multiply 6 by 1 2/3? Quick calculation, should be 10. Does that work out? Let me just think. I don't have a pen and paper here. No.
A little under.
Say it again.
A little under. Yeah.
Oh, it's okay.
9.9.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you have an amon shnei shlish.
Off.
1.2, 1 2/3, right? So 1 2/3 times 6 is, that's, we're going to turn now to daf yutes amid beis. Shehen ke'esem. So that's 10. Divrei Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says you have 3 paros in a rivka, and you have 2 rivkas, one going in and one going out, so you have 6 paros, and 6 paros, 6 cows times 1 2/3 gives you 10 amas. So therefore, Rabbi Meir is going to allow you a space, an open space between the various diumadim, those enclosures, of 10 amas. Once you go beyond 10 amos, then Rabbi Meir is going to require pasim. He's going to require that in addition to those 4 posts, you know, on each corner, you're going to have to set up posts in between those posts. Okay. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishlosh Esrei Amo Ukar Basrei Amo. Okay. The language here is a little bit unclear. The Gemara is going to try to work this out. It's 13 amma, 14 amma, what does it really mean? And we're talking now according to Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we now have 4 cows in one pair coming in, 4 cows in the other pair going out. So we have totally 8 cows. And we're going to multiply 8 by 1 2/3. And what we're going to end up with is 13 and 2/3?
1/3.
And 1/3. Okay, 1/3. 13 and 1/3. Okay. Thank you so much, because I need you to be my memory here. I don't have a black, if I had a blackboard, you know. So it's 13 1/3. Okay. So now, the Gemara is going to analyze the language of this brisa, right? The brisa identifies the width of 6 cows as 10 amos, so the Gemara asks the following question. Is it really so that ke'eser amos? Actually, why does it say ke'eser amos? It should have said eser amos, right? Because if we're talking about 1 2/3, times 6, that's exactly 10. Why does it say ke'eser? Ha'eser havyon, they're 10. Mishum de boilu misnei seifa, he wants to have a symmetrical language between the Reisha and the Seifa. In the Seifa, it's going to say Kishlosh Yisrei Kir, and it's not exactly Shlosh Yisrei, right? Because we say it's 13 and a third. So he uses the same Chaf HaDimyon in the Reisha when he's referring to Rabbi Meir's 10 Amos. So it really should say Eser Amos. Punk. It's exactly 10 Amos. But he uses Ke Eser Amos in order to create a certain, what I call a symmetry between the Reisha and the Seifa. And the Seifa is Kishlosh Yisrei, because in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, when you multiply 8 times 1 1/2, you don't get 13. It's Kishlosh Yisrei. Okay, fine. Now, Tfei Havyon, and the reason why, again, he uses the word Kishlosh Yisrei, like Shlosh Yisrei, is because it's more than Shlosh Yisrei, right? It's 13 and a third. And then in the Gemara continues, it says, Mishum deboi lemisnei ke'arbasar. And again, the Tana wants to use ke'arbasar, almost 14, because it's more than 13, but less than 14. So it's not really 14, so he says, like 14. But ke'arbasre lo havi. You know, it doesn't reach the number 14. So now, Omar of Papa, when the Brisa uses the term Kishlosh Yisrei Amo, Ke'arba Yisrei Amo, so what does that mean? Yeseros al Shlosh Yisrei V'einon Magiyos L'Arba Yisrei. The intention of the Brisa is to tell you that it's more than 13, but it doesn't reach 14. And that's going to be 13 and a third. Okay. Now, let's go back to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda allows the four posts on the four corners, the Dumadim, and he doesn't require any additional posts. Whereas Rabbi Meir holds that it's not enough to have the four Dumadim on the four corners. You also, between each one of the Dumadim, you have to set up these posts, the pasim. Amar Rav Papa, Dibar Shmona Kuli Amalo Pligi Delo Be'inan Pshutim. Which means, if the width of this bar is 8 Amos, then we don't need any pshutim, even according to Rabbi Meir. And why is that so? Because both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that we don't need these pasim, which is single-sided posts between the Dumadim, the double posts. All we need are four Dumadim, four of these double posts, right, in an L-shaped, on four corners. And the reason for that is because when you move away from the bar, when you distance yourself from the bar on any of the sides, you will have plenty of room for a cow, Rosh over Rubo, right, which is 2 Amos, as we said before. And therefore, the airspace between these mechitzos are 12 Amos. Okay? So, let me just see if I have the mathematics here. He's saying, I'll read to you the Hebrew. He says, "Kshumarchik min abor lechol tzad kidei rosha v'ruba shel parosh u'shtei amos is nimtza shachalal kulu bein machitzos shtei mesrei amos v'chol tzad omdim adimodim v'nimshochim amalekan." The Amalekan, Nitzah Shachalal, Bein Pas, Bipas, Eino Ela, Eser Amos. Basically, what we want to do here is we're trying to guarantee that the space between the Dimadim does not go beyond 10 Amos. And what's going to happen is, if we have a well that is 8 Amos wide, and we need to add 2 Amos of space within the Dumadim in order for the cow to be in there, so you take the 8 Amos and you add on any particular side wherever the cow is going to be standing another 2 Amos, and you're left with 10 Amos. So in such a case, says Rav Papa, there's no need for Pshutim, even according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir only requires the addition of Pshutim when you exceed the number of 10 Amos. As long as you're within the bounds of 10 Amos, you're fine. So that if you have a well that's 8 Amos wide, then you're within those bounds of 10 Amos. Let me give you a little bit of a summary here. He says the following. Just one second. I'm on the wrong page here. He says the following. In the case of a water hole which is 8 Amos, no one disagrees. Okay, I would have written here, even Rav Meir agrees. Lo be'ina pshuta. We do not need to add the single posts in the spaces between the dumadim, between the double posts. And why is that? Because the openings in such case, meaning the opening between one corner and the other, comes only to 10 Amos. Oh, now he writes, even Rav Meir agrees. So number 7 he writes, to a water hole that's 8 Amos in diameter. Ah, interesting. 8 Amos in diameter, okay. We must add 2 Amos on every side for the animals to stand and drink. This brings the width of the enclosed area to 12 Amos. Just one second. Right, because we have what? We have 8 Amos in diameter, and you add 2 Amos on each side. So therefore the opening he means the airspace between the double posts, between the Dumadim, is 10 Amos wide. Just one second. So how did he get 8 plus 2 plus 2? This brings the width of the enclosed area to 12 Amos. I think he's doing a little bit of math, geometry. Is he not? He's taking the diameter. Just one second. If the diameter is 8 Amos, no. The English here is not too clear to me. This brings the width of the enclosed area to 12 Amos. Oh, I see. Because he's calculating the Dumadim themselves. Ah, I see. Right, the Dumadim themselves take up 2 Amos, meaning you have a Dumed here on top and a Dumed here on the bottom on one side, and each Dumed has 1 Amma going in that direction. So you have 1 Amma and 1 Amma. That's already closing the area and the space between them by 2 Amma. So you have minus 2 Ammas. Okay. And now you have another 2 Ammas because the cow itself has to be in that area, and the cow is 2 Amos, so we got 2 Amos for the Dumadim, 1 and 1, and then we have the 2 Amos for the length of the cow, and we have the 8 Amos of the diameter of the well, and that adds up to 12 Amos, but again, we're going to subtract 2 Amos because of the 2 Dumadim, and the airspace therefore between the 2 Dumadim is 10 Amos. the basic principle, I mean, again, without getting into all the nitty-gritty nuances here, is that Rav Pop is telling us that Rabbi Meir only requires posts between the Dumadim if the space between the Dumadim is more than 10 amos. But, he says, Bibar Shtemisre, if the bar itself has a diameter of 12 amos, now if it has a diameter of 12 amos, and now what are we going to do? We're going to figure out that and then we need space for the cow. So once we need space for the cow, which is another 2 amos, so we jack it up from 12 amos to 14 amos, is then Kuliamala plead to be inam pshutim. Now the chiddush is that even Rabbi Yehuda will agree to Rabbi Meir that we have to add pshutim, because once we add the 2 amos to the 12 and we get to 14, we've surpassed the 13 and a third, and now the width and the open airspace between the dimadim is beyond the limits. Even Rabbi Yehuda will say that you have to fill it in with pshutim. So where is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Ki pligi mishmona v'ad shtemesre. So it's more than 8 amos, but less than 12. L'Rabbi Meir be'inam pshutim, l'Rabbi Yehuda lo be'inam pshutim. So it means that in a case where the diameter of the bar is more, is 8 plus, that means that the airspace is going to be 10 amos plus, right? So even after you subtract the dumadim, you still have more than a 10 amos gap between one dumad and another, and therefore Rabbi Meir is going to require adding the pasim, these pshutim, as he calls them. Pshutim meaning it's not an L shape, it's not double, it's only one. And Rabbi Yehuda will say, well, you've gone beyond 10 amos, but you're still within the limits of 13 and a third amo, because you're less than 12 amos in diameter. It's only 12 amos when you hit, 14. So if it's, let's say, 10 amos, right, the diameter of the well, then, you're within the 13 and a third allotment, and if you don't need pshutim. So in this case, between 8, meaning more than 8 amos, and less than 12 amos, we're going to have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you require pshutim. Okay. Now, Rabbosai, we're going to learn a series of sfeikos of Abaye. 6 different sfeikos. Okay, then? And the Gemara gives you a mnemonic device how to remember them. Right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, there's 6 different words here that are the simon. And each one of those words is a short form of the question, is a way of remembering the question of Abaye, the 6 questions of Abaye, all of which are addressed to Rabbah. So Abaye was a Talmud of Rabbah, and he was learning our Mishnah about Pasei Bros, and he raised 6 questions to Rabbah. So here's the first question, which you'll see the Simon is called Arich. Okay. Now the first question of Abaye revolves around the following. Let's take Rav Meir, and then we'll talk about Rav Yehuda separately. It doesn't matter, right? But just to get the Seder Advar, Rav Meir is first. Rav Meir says we cannot tolerate Pasei Bros that open up a gap of more than 10 amma unless you're going to add the Pshutim. What happens, asks Abaye, if instead of adding pshutim, he just wants to extend the dumadim? Correct? The dumadim, we said, have a width. Let me just go over this one more time. Yeah. The dumadim have a width of 6 tfachim, which is basically 1 amma. Now, if you want to close the gap, because the gap now, let's say the well was more than 8 amos in diameter, so the gap is more than 10 amos. So I have an idea, says Abaye. Instead of bothering with pshutim and add new posts let's just extend the Dumadim. I have a very beautiful diagram here. So he has the Dumadim extended. And if he extends the Dumadim, instead of six Tfachim, he adds another Amo or two, whatever he has to add, then the open space between the end of this Dumad and this and the end of the other Dumad is less than 10 Amos. And that'll accomplish Reb Meir's goal. So, Boy Mine Abai Mirova Herich B'Dumadim Kishir Pshutim. So, let's say that the Pshutim, we said, were what? Were also the same, yeah, the same six Tfachim. Right, the width of the Pshutim are six Tfachim. So just add an extra six Tfachim to the Dumadim. So the Dumadim now, instead of being one Amos, now became two Amos in length. So it's a continuum of the Dumadim. The Rabbi Meir Mao. Would Rabbi Meir be satisfied with that? Or is there a separate halacha of what we call Hekera? I'll try to explain what that means. What was the tzad in Abaye that it's not enough to extend the Dumadim, you have to add Pshutim, according to Rabbi Meir, because he went beyond the allotment of 10 Amos in the gap. And that is that we want people to know, to recognize, that this gap is way too wide. And this is really beyond your basic allotment. And the way that we convey that message is by requiring Pshutim. And when he sees the Pshutim, he automatically identifies this as a gap that was too wide that has to be filled in. However, if you just extend the Dumadim, it's not so obvious to the naked eye that he is closing the gap. He may just get the impression that those are classic Dumadim, you know, they're more or less one Amma. All right, so they extended it a little bit, but he doesn't realize that the halacha required that the Dumadim, that extension of the Dumadim beyond six Tfachim, is a replacement for the Pshutim. So I'll read to you the Bira here. He says, Mashem Avur Bamishna Sherabi Meir Mosif Pshutim, Haimu Dafka Pshutim, he has to add those separate pieces. Shemi Acher She Hamerchak Bein Amachitos, Hu Yosim and Ashir Amul Chachomim, that's more than 10 Amos. All of Lasos Heker, let's underline that word Heker, Beineam, Aideo Sofas Pasim Dafka. In other words, we need a Heker by adding Pasim. That's obvious to the eye that you added these Pasim as separate entities. Lomas Piksha Yarecha Dumodim. It's not enough that he extends the Dumodim on the four corners. Ela Olav Laharchik Mi Atmina Dumodim. In order to set up Pshutim, you have to leave an airspace. So the Dumadim are here. Now we have space, and now he puts up a Pashut on all four sides, Pshutim. Kideshie Heker. Okay? So in the footnote here, he tells you, Harochas HaDumadim Eino Heker. If you extend the Dumadim beyond the six Tfachim length, that's not a Heker. Sha'aroeh, the spectator, Yochel Lisbar, he can come to the conclusion that Kmochein Dumad Amma Mikan Matir, you know, he doesn't start taking out a tape measure and measure the size of the Dumad. And to him, it's a Dumad. And that's it. Masha Enke Bipshutim Hu Heker Gamur. You know, you could be absolutely confident that if he puts up a Pshutim, everybody realizes that he's adding this because he's closing the gap. So that's what he says. O Shema Af Harochas Dumadim Mo'ila. The other side is to say, all he has to do is close the gap, and he could do so by extending the Dumadim. Shebefal, in actuality, at the end of the day, Liachas Shemarachas Dumadim Ein Beinim El Reva Shel Eser Amos. By extending the Dumadim, the airspace between the two Dumadim is 10 Amos, and therefore there's no need for Pshutim. That's the other tzad. Okay. Amalei, so Rabba turns back to Abaye, and he says Tinisua, which means a careful reading of the Mishnah will give you the answer to your question. Why? because the Mishnah says mutar lahachik kol shehu, he could be marchik the dumadim as much as he his heart desires. Ubilvad sheyara sheyarbe paschim. No, that's not what it says. I fooled you. It says ubilvad sheyarbe bipaschim. The Mishnah adds an extra base. Bipasim. Now the phrase bipasim, says Rava, means with the pasim that he already has. He should be marich those pasim. Right? In other words, the Mishnah opens up, go back to the Mishnah by saying osim pasim. And now, if it's a space that he wants to expand beyond the ten amos, then it says umarech bipasim. He extends those pasim. Bipasim means those pasim. And those are the pasim that the Mishnah opened with, which are the pasim on the four corners, the dumadim. My love, shouldn't we assume that when it says bipasim, demarech bidumadim? Right? He wants to expand and extend the dumadim so that he can reduce the space between them. Gemara says, lo. With all due respect, Rabbi, that's no proof. Why? The mafish v'ovid pshutim. When the Mishnah tells us that yarbe v'pasim, he's talking about separate pasim, which are pshutim. So Gemara says, ihochi, Rabbi defends himself, hi, the language of the Mishnah, v'vach yarbe bipasim, it should have said, ach yarbe pasim, mi boile means it should have said, right? Sheyarbe pasim, meaning should add pasim as separate entities. It says bipasim means on the pasim that we spoke about at the very beginning, meaning the dumadim, which are called in the language of the Mishnah pasim. So Tani, the Gemara rejects it and says, you know what? Let's fix up the Mishnah. Anche yarbe pasim, leave out the base. You know, you often wonder when the Gemara does that. You know, it sounds like they're pulling the wool over our eyes. You know, just you had a problem with an extra letter, just drop it. So he writes in the footnote, "Ein kavodas haGemara l'taken es lashon haMishnah." You know, the Gemara doesn't feel that they have the laissez-faire. You know, the green light just to change the gears in the Mishnah. Ela kavanasa. Sha'af loshon yarbe bipasim, yochol is parish yarbe pasim. That, you know, don't make such a big deal about the extra base. Now it's Ika Diamri. Ika Diamri just means we're going to present a different shaklavatari, a different dialogue back and forth. It's the exact same thing, but just in a different sequence. Ika Diamri omale, Rabbi says, Tabai Tnisua, we learned in our Mishnah, ubilvachi yarbe bipasim. And my love, shouldn't we assume it means the mafish vi ovid pshutim? That in addition to the dumadim, he has to add pshutim. Lo, that's not what it means. The marach b'diomadim, that the four corners are going to be extended. And hokinam mistavra miriktoni ubavach yarbe bipasim, adding the bays. It doesn't say yarbe pasim shmamino, and therefore we should conclude that the Mishnah allows you to extend the Dumodim as well. So you have two choices. In a case of Yoser Me'arba Eser Amos, if it's wider than 10 Amos, you have two choices. You could either add Pshutim, or you can extend the Dumodim. Now, Rabosai, when I first learned this Gemara, I was bothered by the following. The entire Gemara, this first Suffolk of the six, which is called Arich, is couched in terms of Rabbi Meir. We just finished learning the Sugi Rav Papa, as we started today, and basically the same identical principles that apply to Rabbi Meir apply to Rabbi Yehuda. The only question is, up to what distance of an opening gap between the Dumadim do we allow? So whereas Rabbi Meir requires no more than 10 Amos, and Rabbi Yehuda says 13 and a third Amos. But whatever is true for Rabbi Meir in 10 Amos is true for Rabbi Yehuda in 13 and a third Amos. So I came to the conclusion in my mind, before I got to the second suffix of Abaye, that when it says Rabbi Meir here, you know, just like the Gemara says, don't get too excited about the extra bays, don't get too excited about Rabbi Meir. And logically, the same question could be asked according to Rabbi Yehuda. If I have a gap of 13 and a third amma, do I have two options? Can I just extend the dimadim to close up the gap so that I make sure it's less than 13 and a third? Or do I have to add pshutim? Because Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Meir that once you exceed beyond that allowance of 13 and a third amos in the gap in the, that you have to add pshut. But it's not so. The Gemara Abaye thinks that there's one suffix for Rabbi Meir and another suffix for Rabbi Yehuda. We have to understand why. And that leads us to the second suffix, which is called Yoser. Okay. Boy mine abai mi rabba. Yoser mishlosh yisrayamu shlish l'Rabbi Yehuda mahu. If he exceeds the allotment of an opening, a gap of 13 and a third, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you up to 13 and a third, mahu. Pshutim ovid o bidyumim marich. Does Rabbi Yehuda require dafka that you have to add pshutim in that case? Or can he allow you to just extend the dumud? Now, even before I understand this, I have to mathematically calculate that if Abaye added a question, number two on his list, for Rabbi Yehuda, and it's identical to the question that he asked for Rabbi Meir, with one difference, that Rabbi Meir has Eser Amos and Rabbi Yehuda has 13 and a third, isn't it basically the same issue? You know, do you need this separate heker, or is it enough that we just expand the dumadim, and in doing so we close the gap? So why does Abaye have a separate question in the context of Rabbi Yehuda? So here I have a note, and we'll see if we can fill in the gap, if you bought the pun, right? Okay. He says the following. We have a principle, if you recall, called Asi Avira de Haigisa, Avira de Haigisa, Umevatale. Right, that if you have too much airspace on the sides of a pass, That's not a good thing. And hasafeku im yoel dafka pshutim o dafka harochas dumodim. Rabbi Meir nokat the mishnah pshutim, and we said that according to Rab at least, it doesn't mean that you have to add pshutim. You could also extend the dumud. So then, we could always say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, for sure, you can extend the dumud. So what was Abai's question then? If according to Rabbi Meir, Abai already got the final answer from Rabbah that extending the dumudim is fine, then why shouldn't extending the dumadim be okay according to Rabbi Yehuda? So he says, Kosav Hagon Yaakov, right? There's a sefer on Erevin we've mentioned in the past called Gaon Yaakov. And he says the following, Abaye histapek bederech imtim tzolomar. Klomar. Imtim tzolomar, Shall Rabbi Meir Moil Afla Arich Bidumadim Yeshli Stapek Rabbi Yehuda Im Yoel Pshutim? Meaning, we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, once you get to 13 and a third amma of a gap, Rabbi Yehuda concedes that you need to close that gap. Not a 10 amos, but a 13 and a third. this is Abai Sof, according to the Gaon Yaakov. How does Rabbi Yehuda envision closing the gap once you've passed 13 and a third? Is it possible that Rabbi Yehuda requires extending due mud and he doesn't allow you to add pshutim? The Mishnah only presents pshutim in the context of Rabbi Meir. The word pshutim here for Al-Sofas pshutim only comes out of the mouth of Rabbi Meir. Now, we've come to the conclusion that Rabbi Meir would allow pshutim. What that means is that Dumadim is fine. If you extend the Dumadim to close the gap, no problem. You have another option, and pshutim. The question now is, says Abai, when we get to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, is pshutim an option? Because basically what Rabbi Yehuda wants to do is, he wants to set up Dumadim that will not allow for an open space of more than 13 and a third amma. But if you set up Dumadim that make it impossible for the space to be 13 and a third amma, because they're very long, extended Dumadim, then you're fine, because you've solved your problem with the Dumadim alone. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, according to one side in Abai, deliberately omitted pshutim. He doesn't mention a word about pshutim because he felt that whether or not you have this airspace, you know, this gap or that gap, whatever the size is, solve the problem with Dumadim. You know, it's the way that Chazal enacted these mechitzos, you know, to allow you to draw water from the well, is by setting up Dumadim. Pshutim is a whole nother thing. Pshutim is some sort of a concept of a heker. But in terms of Hilchas Mechitzos, the Pshutim really don't add a thing, because you've got Avir here and you've got Avir here. You know, the Pshutim are nowhere. Where are they? You have two different corners with Mechitzos, and then you put up this kind of Amud Pashut right in the middle. But with all due respect, that's not a Mechitza. So if it's not a Mechitza, doesn't add anything. So in any event, you're going to fall back to Dumadim. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda deliberately omits Pshutim because he feels that the way the Takana was, the enactment of the Chachamim was, solve your problem by setting up Mechitz around the bar through Dumadim. And make sure those Dumadim will guarantee that there's no space of 13 and a third Amma between them. In other words, those Dumadim enclose a smaller area. And how do I establish that? By, if need be, expanding the Dumadim. So again, I'm just presenting to you the thesis here of the Gaon Yaakov, that, you know, he says that the Imtim Talomer here, which is missing, that if we conclude, says Abai, in the first question, that extending the Dumadim is okay, maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the only way to solve the problem. In Rabbi Meir's frame of reference, we have this concept of a heker, of, you know, Chazal invented the Pshutim as a Heker. So now you have two options. You can expand the Dumadim, or you could add the Pshutim as a Heker. In Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, I might come to the conclusion that we say in Yiddish, Alts licht in them Dumadim. Everything has to be inherent in the Dumadim. All your solutions have to be in the Dumadim. Don't go beyond the circle of Dumadim, you know, and start introducing Pshutim and wave flags here and so forth and so on. No. The Pshutim don't really solve anything. They're not closing a gap, because they don't serve as a mechitza, because there's plenty of airspace on both sides of the Pshutim. Although Rabbi Meir did introduce this alternative method of a heker, so really Rabbi Meir admits that the Dumadim in this case, if it's more than 10 amas wide, have not solved your problem, but we'll solve the problem with a heker. That's a whole new ballgame. Says the Gaon Yaakov, you're really stretching outside of the rules of the game over here. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda would insist that we have to stay within the bounds of the game, and the game was set up Dumadim, which is going to enclose the area from all four corners. The Pshutim are meaningless because there's airspace on both sides of the Pshutim. What kind of mechitz is that? That's not closing the gap. So if you want to close the gap, you have to expand the Dumadim. That's the way the Gaon Yaakov understands the second suffix of Abai. Omale, so Rabbi says to Abai Tnisuha, we have a Braisa. Okay, now, until now we've been limiting ourselves to the Mishnah, and now we have a Braisa. The Braisa speaks about the Dumadim and how close they have to be one to the other, not allowing too much of a distance of a gap between them. Is Kama Hein Miko Ravin, how close are they one to the other? Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's how close can they come one to the other, meaning, right, the closer the Dumadim, the smaller the area that you're encircling. And the answer is, Kidei Rosha Veruba Shalpar. Don't go too close, because if you get too close, then the para will not be able to get into that area next to the well. And we've got to get Rosha Veruba, meaning that two amos area of the para. Okay. So now, if you would have, let's say, the Dumadim that are so close to each other that they don't even encompass an area of two amos, then you're not allowed to carry in between. And the answer is, as we said before, because we're afraid lest he be tempted to go out of that small area in order to feed his cows, and then lo and behold, he's out in the Rishus Aravim. That's not good news. The Kama Meruchakim. Okay, so you've told me that the minimum space has to be two amos to allow for the cow. What's the maximum space that we're going to allow? Afilu kur, vafilu kurayim. Kur is the amount of area that it would take to plant a kur's worth of a plantation, meaning you could produce a full kur that's a certain volume. And afilu kurayim, even if it's wide enough from one diomed to the other, that you could plant two kurs worth, that's also okay. Again, but once we go beyond the limitation, we're going to need pshutim. We're going to have to add pshutim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, beis osai. There is a cap. There is a limit. You cannot use diomedim to be matir, an area that's so large that it's beis osai, which we said was, if you remember, 100 amos by 50 amos. And up to that size, mutter, then you're allowed to carry within it. Yoser may be beis osai. Once you pass beyond beis osai, you know, you add a little mashahu, then the Chazal say you're not allowed to be metaltal in such a large area. Yesterday we called it a golf course, right? Awesome. Amrulo. So the Braisa records a dialogue in which the Chachamim turned to Rabbi Yehuda. Iata mode bedir sar mukta vechotzer. What about large areas that have been set aside and designated for Diur, for shimush, meaning for various usages? So we have a deer, which means the animals go in this large area and they can graze, so we put fences all around that area. Or sahar, that's already not out in the fields outside of the city limits, but sort of fields within the city limits. And mukta, which is a backyard. Chatzer is a courtyard, a backyard in behind the house, and a courtyard in front of the house. Is afilu bas chameshes kurim, afilu bas asara kurim mutar. In other words, why do you make a difference between pasi biros, in the case of wells, and other areas that are set aside for other kinds of use? And in those cases, we don't have a limit. You know, if you have this area, let's say, for grazing of the cows, it could be a massive area, right? It could be asara kurim. Amalehem, so Rabbi Yehuda responds, and in defense he says to the Chachamim, there's no analogy here. Zo In the case of deer, sar, muktzah, and chatzer, mechitza, you have full-fledged mechitzos that surround these areas. I couldn't care less how large those areas are if they have full mechitzos, 10 tefachim high, and they surround the areas, and the areas are used for different kinds of tashmishim, of different benefits and functions, as opposed to a karpaf, which is a besos sayim, that's not hukaf l'dira, that's not used for any sort of, your animals and your this and that. But elu, but now we're talking about pasi biros, pasim. These are simply posts that are one amma in length by one amma on the other side. And between the two pasim, between the two dumadim, as we call them, we've got a massive opening of 13 and a third amma. And we're going to find ways of allowing this and solving that problem, but up to a besos sayim. So don't equate mechitzos with pase bros, because pasim are not mechitzos. They're just an amma in width, and we're not going to allow you to rely on these pasim for a large area, the expanse of which is a besos sayim. Okay. Now, after learning this whole brisa, let's swing back to Rava. And Rava says the following. V'im Isa, and if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you have a large distance, an opening between the Dumadim, and it's larger than the shear of 13 and a third, then Mematen Osayidei Arochas HaDumadim, you're going to expand the Dumadim, you're not going to add pasim, then Rabbi Yehuda shouldn't have said that there's a difference between pasi beros and mechitzos, in the case of deer, sar, muktzah, and chotzer, because zo mechitzah is zo mechitzah miboyle. He should have admitted that in both cases it's a mechitzah. No, it's the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda is justified in differentiating between a mechitzah and the pasi beros is because the pasi beros have only a width of one amma. That's not a mechitza. But if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you have a gap, you're going to close that gap by expanding the length of the dumadim, such that now there won't be a space of 13 and a third amma between the dumadim, well, that could be a mechitza shlema, a complete mechitza, and you'll get to the point where it might be omed meruba ala parutz. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda has no right to distinguish between those four cases, chotzer, etc., which are called mechitza, and the case of pasi biros, because pasi biros is also considered a mechitza. And I'll just add one line in the Gemara, because we're going to have to close, but the Gemara says, hachi kamar. This is what Rabbi Yehuda had in mind. Zotoris mechitza lea, in the cases of deer and chatzer and so forth and so on, those are cases where you set up a mechitza, and if you have a pirtza of more than 10 amos between one mechitza and the other, then it's going to be possible. And if that be the case, you don't have that great pirtza, and we're going to allow you to be makif an area and surrounded in the deer and the chotzer, even if it's greater than besos sayim. But elu, but in the case of pasi bros, toras pasim alehem, and pirtzosem shloshesrei amu shlish. Now you have an opening that is 13 and a third amma. And therefore we have to be very more restricted in terms of when we're allowed to rely on this, because in the cases of deer and chotzer, we're going to guarantee that you have mechitzas without a pirtza that's too large, and it can't be a pirtza of beyond eser amos. That's going to disqualify it. So by definition, you have a distance between one mechitza and the other that is less than eser amos, and then we can be matir a larger area. But in the case of pasi beros, where we're talking about a pirtza that's more than 13 and a third amma, then we're going to be very careful about how much of an area are you capable of being matir with these pasei bros. We're going to make sure that it's not a base sasayin.